I am not equal to this task. To properly tell you about my Rebbe, it would take all day. It would only touch the tip of the iceberg. A few opportunities I've had to speak to you from here, I've spoken from the head. Today I must speak from the heart. I apologize if I won't be able to finish every sentence. Students have asked me why I tore Kriya. The halacha is that you tear Kriya for any one of the seven relatives who passes. You tear Kriya if you're in the presence of someone who passes. You tear Kriya for your Rebbe. Indeed, there are those who say that in our day that doesn't apply because we get most of our Torah from books. But the essential halacha of the connection to a Rebbe is, we see at the end of the second parak above Metziah, that unlike your father who brings you into Olam Hazeh, your Rebbe brings you to Olam Haba. I've been zocha to have a number of amazing teachers. But I've only got one Rebbe. And whatever Olam Haba I can be looking at is Bizchuto. Sitting last night, in the middle of the night, watching our Rebbe be eulogized by not one, by not two, but by all six of his children, in beautiful, elegant, moving, erudite, and varied hespedim, a flood of memories came back. And I will share a few of these memories with you. Perhaps the memories that come first are the ones that should be shared. I remembered when I was with Rabbi Schreiber in Kerem Biavne, we were accustomed to a particular kind of yeshiva, a particular kind of Rosh Yeshiva. And I had heard from friends who were in this place called Har Etzion that I might be interested in checking out the yeshiva. I went to visit Rav Lichtenstein Shir that he gave for many years in Yerushalayim at the Grus Kollel to the YU students who were spending a year in Israel. When I arrived there, Rav Lichtenstein walked in. I'd never seen a Rosh Yeshiva who looked like that, who looked like this. Clean shaven, looking like a distinguished, dignified, regular member of society. You wouldn't notice him on the street. And he started teaching. Rishonim I'd never heard of. Clarity I could never have imagined in his presentation of Torah. Almost 2 straight hours at about 80 miles a second of amazing Torah. That was the first shiur. I couldn't catch my breath when we stood up to Daven Mincha. And when I finished Shmoneh Esrei, what I thought was a reasonable pace, I turned and I saw that Rav Lichtenstein was still davening. And I will never forget the picture of Aaron Shmoneh Esrei. When my Shmoneh Esrei gets weak, that's what I close my eyes, that's what I picture. And the same person who was presenting pearls of brilliant, rigorous wisdom was suddenly pouring his heart out to the Ribono Shel Olam, and you could almost hear the cries. And this was on a Tuesday afternoon in December. When Mincha was done, we sat down for a second shiur. Shiur on the Ramban al Torah. That's what he was giving that year. I remember he gave a shiur on the Ramban. They were up to the Ramban in Dvarim on Baltosif. Famous Ramban. I was following the shiur as best as I could. To be honest, I was kind of wiped up by that point. And then suddenly I heard this great Rosh Yeshiva, whose wisdom like of this the type of which I had never encountered before, suddenly using names in his sikha, and all of this was in Hebrew, names that sounded like they weren't exactly Rishonim. There was a Milton, and there was a Dostoevsky. And I turned to somebody after the shiur, and I asked, how did they get into the shiur? They looked at me and said, I guess you weren't following. I don't know if there was anybody else who could take Dostoevsky's Notes from the Underground, a piece by Spencer, and use it to explain and clarify Ramban. If you never experienced it, you probably can't believe it. And if you're a Zolche to experience it, you smile and you say, yep, and nobody else could do it. A number of years ago, Rav Lichtenstein gave a sicha on Tu B'Shvat. And he gave a Musa Shmuz based on a very famous poem by Frost. But in advance of that, he wrote a translation of the poem into beautiful medieval poetic Hebrew, and it rhymed. An amazing feat. It's the sort of thing that we got used to. And I couldn't put all the pieces together until I came to visit Har Etzion for a Shabbat. And after Tefillah Friday night, we went out into the Mevuah. Those of you who visited the yeshiva know the area underneath the Beit Midrash, which is the entryway. And the whole yeshiva was dancing in a big circle. And the song, over and over, that they were singing, that I found out is the theme song of the yeshiva, was the Taher Libeinu Liavdecha Be'emet. Hashem, please purify our hearts that we can worship you with integrity, with truth. And I realized the same person who had such brilliant analysis of a sugi in Sanhedrin and such heartfelt filah and such an expansive, clear understanding of the meaning of Baltosi and of being commanded and understood how literature from the outside could help clarify what that means. It was all about one word. The word was emet. To be be'emet, an oved Hashem, to worship Hashem, means with head and heart and soul. I've met some great people in my life. I never met anybody who had head, heart, and soul 100% in Torah, like Rav Lichtenstein. And truth was such an important piece of the puzzle. And I remember hearing a story from before I came to the yeshiva that was part of the reason that I was attracted to come. In the years when I was studying in Israel, there's some very big things going on in the political scene, which of course is preposterous because There's always big things going on in the political scene. But at the time, we were in the process of signing a peace agreement with Egypt, which would involve giving the entire Sinai Peninsula back to Egypt, including the destruction of a dozen or so beautiful Jewish villages on the Sinai coast, Hebel Yamit. This proposed treaty led to a huge dispute in our circles in Israel. How dare we give up Jewish homes, Jewish villages, for a piece of paper? And Rav Lichtenstein came and addressed the yeshiva one evening. And he presented his case about why he thought the peace treaty was a good idea. Although most people, 40 plus years later, 40 years or so later, believe that it was a good idea. And this could not have happened anywhere else that I know of. Certainly not in Kerem Biavne. There was an elder student whose views in opposition were well known. And all of his chaverim started pushing him, get up there and debate. It's debate. How can I stand up next to Rav Lichtenstein and debate him? He's the Rosh Hashiva. But that's not what Rav Aaron taught us. And so Avi Kupperman, Avi Nachshoni, got up and spent 20 minutes going through the sugya of whether it's permissible to disagree with your Rebbe in public, even when your Rebbe gives you reshut, and then did so. That tremendous spirit of Emet is what made our yeshiva, that started out as a few little shacks in Kfar Etzion and has grown into an amazing institution, teaching thousands of people over the course of any year. Rav Lichtenstein, as I said, brought a new image of what a Rosh Yeshiva can look like. Not just in physical appearance, but a Rosh Yeshiva in Israel who had a doctorate from Harvard in English literature was something kind of unheard of. It's a little less unheard of these days. Having a Rosh Yeshiva in Israel who was clean-shaven was unheard of. There's a story one time that Rav Lichtenstein went to visit the students on the army base. You know, our yeshiva is a Hesder yeshiva. We're proud that our boys, as part of being in the yeshiva, serve in the army. And he went to visit the boys on the base one day. And most Rosh Yeshivas in those days in Israel did not drive their own car. They got driven. Rav Lichtenstein drove. And one of the fellows in the yeshiva, who had a long beard, asked Rav Lichtenstein if he could come along for the ride to visit his friends on the base. He said, sure. So Rav Lichtenstein got behind the driver's, behind the wheel, and the student got next to him in the seat, in the passenger seat, and they went to the base. And the Shin Gimel, the fellow at the gate, was told that a great Rosh Yeshiva is coming to visit. So when the car got there, what do you think he said? The rabbi can go in, but the driver's got to wait outside. A new image. When I think back to that Friday night dancing in the Mavoah, there is another image that I cannot get out of my mind, and it's an image that since I was first exposed to Rav Lichtenstein in the yeshiva, I've never lost. Friday night, we had several hundred boys all dancing in a huge circle. The Gush Dance. The Taher Libeinu. Sab'einu mitu'vecha. Samach nafshenu vishuatecha. The Taher Libeinu li'ovdecha be'emet. Dancing together, holding hands. And the time of Lichtenstein's children, whose oldest are my age, still had some younger kids. And they're older, of course. I remember Rav Lichtenstein dancing, and one of his kids was on his shoulder, and he was chasing after the other one. I was just so blown away, because here I was watching a Gadol B'Torah, one of Gedolei HaDor, one of the great Torah giants of our generation, chasing his kids around the campus. And I asked a little bit, because his sons were in shir with me. And I found out that when they were in Yeshiva High School in Netiv Meir, at the time was the top Yeshiva Tichonit in Israel, he used to come by twice a week and sit in the evening and learn with his sons. People were blown away. People were amazed. You're Rav Lichtenstein. You're doing so much every day. 5-6 shiurim a day. Writing. Being consulted on national matters. How do you make time to sit with your own kids an hour and a half, twice a week? And he didn't understand the question. Isn't this what it's all about? Last night, this morning, an old chaver of Meir Lichtenstein, one of the six illustrious children of Aaron and Tibadel Chaim Tovim Varukim, Dr. Tova Lichtenstein, when he was maspid, mentioned in the famous sugi of Chanukah, we asked the question, what if a person, and imagine how terrible things could be, what if a person only has enough money to buy oil for Ner Shabbat or Ner Chanukah? What's the halakha? What do you spend it on? The halakha is Ner Shabbat. Why? Because Ner Shabbat is about Shalom Bayit. And he explained that the difference between Ner Chanukah and Ner Shabbat symbolically is the light that you cast to the outside world and the light inside of your own house. The light that you send to everybody else and the light that you bring to your family. And there's a secret there. If you're able to bring light to your family, the light will get out anyways. We know too many people who are very successful at bringing light out into the world, but their houses are dark. We even have people like that in Tanakh. And we know people like that in our own lives. Leadership is a very challenging thing. Watching Rav Lichtenstein with his children was something that inspired me as a parent, and has always guided me as a parent, to never forget where the main focus of your Talmud Torah is, of your energies and your love are. They are at home and they are with your own family. I want to conclude by sharing a story. For anybody who has studied at Har Etzion, this story is part of who you are. So I'm going to share it with you, and I'm going to invite you that much into our world. In 1970, Rav Lichtenstein, who was the Rosh Kollel in Yeshiva University, was invited to come and become a Rosh Yeshiva at one of the new yeshivot that had been built in Israel after the Six-Day War. And he came to Israel and toured around the different yeshivot. Matter of fact, if you go to their libraries, you can still see where he checked out books, because some of them are books nobody's checked out since. And he was supposed to actually become the Rosh Yeshiva at a different place. Nothing was sealed, but he was coming to visit. And he came to a small village in an area that had just been reclaimed by Israel a couple of years earlier and was starting to be rebuilt. A little village called Kfar Etzion. In an area, a small little area, that was being called Gush Etzion. That now Baruch Hashem has close to 100,000 citizens. And he came to visit this little yeshiva that was temporarily housed in this kibbutz. And he went up to the rabbi who had founded the yeshiva, Rav Yehuda Amital, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. of Amital, who had climbed out of the ashes of Birkenau and made his way to Israel, fought in the independence war, became a Rebbe at Yeshivat HaDarom, and then helped to found this great yeshiva. And Rabbi Lichtenstein turned to him and said, "Please tell me, what's the philosophy of your yeshiva?" Rabbi Mital turned to him and said, "I can't tell you what the philosophy of the yeshiva is. I can tell you a story. And it's a story that involves the first three Lubavitcher Rebbes. The Baal HaTanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, was already a grandfather. And he was sitting in a room and he was learning. And the next room was his son, who later became, upon his passing, the second Rebbe. And in an adjacent room, in a crib, was a tiny little baby who later became Rav Menachem Mendel, the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Rebbe. And the grandfather was learning in his room, and the son was learning in his room, and the baby was in the crib. And the baby started crying. He woke up. And the grandfather heard it. And he came in, and he picked his grandson up and comforted him and quieted him down. And then he walked into his son, the father of that baby. And he said, "Why didn't you take care of your own son?" He said, "Tati, I was learning. I didn't hear him. I was so engrossed in my study, I didn't hear my own child cry." Rabbi Mital turned to Rabbi Lichtenstein. Zecher Shneim Livracha. And said, "That's what our yeshiva is about. You may never get so involved in your own learning that you don't hear the cry of a baby. And the voice of the baby crying is the voice of Am Yisrael in trouble, at war, under attack, in poverty, in need. And while we are engrossed deeply in the most rigorous and most advanced learning, we always keep an ear attuned." That's what Rav Yehuda Amital Zatzal, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, taught us. We cannot fill these shoes. We cannot hope to fill these shoes. But if we can be inspired by the model of somebody whose greatness in Torah led to the most amazing chesed, the most amazing giving, and the most amazing spirit of integrity, then at least we will have come one step closer to trying to fill part of what we are missing. Yehi zichro baruch.